member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.
On PodRiot.com.
Welcome to Kinky Sex Radio.
We are back. Season 2.
After weeks and weeks of Tom abandoning us for yellow balls.
If you missed it, if you're new to Kinky Sex Radio, I did a promotional thing selling, hawking these yellow toy balls. And we're back to start season 2. I'm Professor Tom. With me as always,
Miss Gypsy.
And we are joined this week by our first real Kinky Sex Radio guest. I had Cunning Minx from Polyamory Weekly on, but it was just she and I sitting down sweating at noon. This week we had Mistress Xena.
Hello.
With us, a local, though internationally traveling, dominatrix. We're lucky enough that she's based out of Chicago. And tell us a little bit about yourself. How long you been dominating, and how long you been dominating for professional?
Dominating?
You know, dominating. I don't know why I said it like that.
I've been practicing BDSM ever since I was 15 years old. I decided to go pro at age 19. I was trained by a dom couple here in Chicago when I was 18 years old. And they're still in this scene, but not really active. And when I first started out here in Chicago, I worked for different houses. Now I'm independent, and I advertise in DDI Magazine and in all over the internet.
Gotcha. So, what's your website address?
www.mistresszena.com. It's X-E-N-A, not Z-E-N-A.
Right. X-E-N-A. Mistress Xena. And in the forums, I'll put in the show notes. I'll put the link there, too. So if you're lazy and don't feel like writing it down, just go to kinkysexradio.com later on. Mistress Xena is going to be joining us for the whole show. And you've got to... But we need her because she's pinch-hitting. Because Gypsy, who, keep in mind, is doing a radio show, messed up her mouth.
Yeah, my dog jumped up and hit me in the mouth, so I've had a sore lip for a little bit now, so I'm not going to be talking as much as usual.
You know what, but damn it, God love you for dragging your ass in here to do a radio show with a messed up lip.
Well, thanks to Mr. Xena for kind of carrying the weight that I can't bear right now.
Very cool. Let's rock and roll.
This week on Kinky Sex Radio, we'll be talking about single tails, latex and rubber, boots, and the pet movie.
So there's a movie coming out with a heavy BDS theme. If you haven't seen it yet, you go to the pet movie. .com, and it's been a point of discussion on almost every bondage board, bondage forum I've been, which is like three that I've been to. I don't frequent a dozen of them, but in our forums, there's a debate going on as to whether we like it, whether we don't. Mm-hmm. All we've got is a trailer to go through, and then I read a synopsis, but it was propaganda. It was from Tricoast Pictures, whatever they're called, the movie company who made it. Mm. So, do we like it? Do we hate it? How do you feel?
The clip looks very interesting. It reminded me of the movie Secretary a little bit.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie?
Oh, yeah. Love Secretary.
Yeah, it's like my favorite one, favorite movie. That's, involving BDSM, of course. But The Pet, I mean, that looks like a good movie. And you said it's an independent film?
It looks really, and that was the one problem I had with it, was like the Secretary was James Spader.
Oh,
and
yes.
Nobody knew Maggie Gyllenhaal yet,
right?
But they were incredible actors. And she had movie experience, stage experience, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it was high budget. That's what I loved about it, was finally there was a movie at least dealing with the lifestyle, and as much as Hollywood deals with anything, in a very glossed over, candy-coated, dumbed-down kind of way. But, you know, hey, they never explain how exactly the asteroid hits the Earth either. Mm-hmm. They just assume Bruce Willis is going to get on the damn thing.
Right.
That's anything. They do that too, right? This I'm a little worried about because it's a lot lower budget, which means two things. One, it makes for not as good of a movie because of sound issues and lighting issues, quality of actors you can afford, mm-hmm. quality of script, number of rewrites. I mean, it sounds very bad to say money is the root of all that, but money's how you get all that done.
Right.
Which means that if it comes out and isn't just brilliant, amazing, like those few indie movies they can do it with no money can do,
mm-hmm.
people are going to poo-poo the whole thing. They're going to be like, well, it's crap. And therefore, this whole pet thing is bullshit. And the being a slave thing doesn't exist. And nobody actually does that. And so we get lumped in by associations. Does that make sense?
Well, I think this definitely has a glossed over, idealistic, point of view of things. even with the fact that it's low budget, you know, it's the rich, handsome guy with, you know, the unsuspecting young girl that's naive and, oh, submissive, what's that? Because, you know...
That line is delivered so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a trailer. You got to remember, right. We're saying glossed over, but we're seeing a trailer, which is by its definition glossed over. You know, Lord of the Rings didn't look that badass as a trailer either. Mm-hmm. It just looked kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I get what you're saying. It is kind of a stereotype almost. It sounds like, though, I don't know, do you think it'll be good? Do you think it'll be bad? The storyline.
The storyline, I think it sounds good in parts. Like, the beginning, I think, you know, what I'm worried about is the transition. Like, from the storyline of him finding this girl and, you know, them developing this relationship into, you know, the dark people coming and abducting the girls. You know, I worry about how the transition would be.
Let me back up a little bit and explain what this story is to the people listening who haven't seen the trailer. So from what we can tell, and this is from the trailer, so God knows how crazy, and from the synopsis I read, so I'm going to kind of put them together. Very typical rich French billionaire who has apparently, from what I can see in the trailer, a small collection of pets. So he is some sort of dom slave master lifestyle thing he's got going on and can afford to have them all running on the beach naked, blah, blah, blah. He finds his latest acquisition. I'm assuming he dates her, discovers she's submissive, and then brings her in. That's the way it looks like in the trailer. He finds a girl. She's slightly damaged goods. He's slightly damaged goods. They start to fall in love. He discovers she's submissive. Yay, because he's a dom. Mm-hmm. Tells her about a pet. She has no clue, and she goes, what is it? She goes, submissive? Yeah. Hopefully that's just the editing on the trailer. Brings her in, introduces her, yada, yada, yada. Now they're all happy. She's having a great time. She discovers a side of herself she'd always knew was there but had never expressed before. Cue the violins. The darkness turns, and in the synopsis, you don't see this in the trailer, he gets bored one night on the internet, as you do, and he wants to see what the value of these pets would be, just to kind of play a game. So he finds a website for the human slave market, types in the parameters. The problem is the people on the other end find out about his little collection and come, and apparently, and this is where it gets a little fuzzy, they kidnap them, they abduct them, whatever, and then he fights to get them back. So that's where you're talking about the transition from a secretary-type story, where it's two people who are falling in a sort of love, or at least a sort of lust, or a comfortable sexual relationship, turns into the TNT movie of the week, starring Baxter Burney as the slave who escaped. And it, yeah, you're right. That's where it could get... It's scary because the stuff does exist, and it is that is a common BDSM theme, though. What if you're doing a rape scene and a rapist sees you and it becomes real? You know what I mean? When you play with very dark things like slavery and rape and power exchange, powerlessness and torture, those are very real things in the world and very terrible things in the world, and that's kind of what makes it fun, I think, is the naughtiness of it or the wrongness of it makes it cool. And how many stories have you read online that are that exact same thing? You know, you're playing slave and then someone actually takes you. Or you're a little bit kinky and the boss from work abducts you. And now it's real, but you like it. And, you know, that's...
Or you've gotten into, you know, a BDSM master-slave relationship and then things don't, you know, go quite as planned where, you know, the contract is, you know, quote-unquote, you know, nullified where, you know, the master's supposed to do this, that, and the other and he ends up, you know, beating the girl bloody and... You know, thankfully, this doesn't happen as much as the media would like us to think, you know, they sensationalize the cases of, you know, BDSM relationships gone wrong. But it does happen where, you know, you meet someone on the internet, you don't get to know each other as well as you should, and then you move in and you have this fantasy life of, you know, master-slave, and then he starts, you know, treating you like a slave, and oh, that's when the game ends.
Yeah, it's a danger in any relation. I mean, you can do that when you have a single mom. Certainly,
right.
I think there are certainly more bad non-BDSM relationships where the guy's just smacking her around.
Yeah, it's just any abusive relationship, you know. But, you know, the media likes to...
Oh, they're going to glom onto it. Absolutely. Same thing happened with Big Love. You know, Big Love hits HBO, and suddenly there's a million polyamorous or polygamous stories. And if you ever watch Big Love, it's a very specific type of polygamy. It's a religious polygamy. The women don't touch each other at all. It's very male, female, and then male, new female, and then male, third female. They have assigned days. This isn't a polyamorous, it is technically, but not the way I imagine polyamorous relationships where there's nothing happening between these women. And even the sex between the man and the woman doesn't seem terribly interesting to me. It seems very missionary. But the media goes to polyamory meetings, and Cunning Minx from Polyamory Weekly right here in Chicago has dealt with this. Where it bleeds over and the dumbed down or very unique version becomes what they assume. So I say if this movie hits at all, we should brace for impact because we're going to have a million people asking really stupid questions based on what may or may not be a really dumb movie.
We'll talk to you about Talking Dirty.
I fucked that up. That was supposed to be your line,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Nope. Nope. I'm stepping on your line. Sing it.
We're going to make it through all your fetishes by the time we're done. We'll talk about boots. Now, is that as big as the latex fetish? Is it?
Yeah, it is.
Awesome. Same age? Did you start? Because you said, what, 5 or 6 with latex? Like, as far as starting to totemize it?
Right. Well, with boots, I mean, like, have you seen, like, children's cowboy boots, right?
Uh-huh.
Like, I used to own a pair. I got them for Christmas, and ever since then, I couldn't take the boots off. I mean, just, you know, once again, the feeling of the boots, the look, the, you know, like, very comfortable. Now, like, when I first saw that movie, Pretty Woman, with Julia Roberts, I just fell in love with her because she was wearing those thigh-high boots.
Yeah, those are nice boots.
Boots are very sexual. It's fun to have individuals worship your boots, suck on the heel, lick the dirt on the bottom. and here in Chicago, as a matter of fact, there's a store called Skyscraper Heels.
Which is a fantastic store.
Yeah.
Skyscraper. So it's a shoe store or it's a fetish shoe store?
It's more fetishy.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's just like the Skyscraper Heels, they specialize in the high heels and they, you know, go up to the large sizes and it's a fantastic shoe store.
So you get guys' high heels in there as well, like the drag queens and such? Mm-hmm. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, their address is 2202 West Belmont Avenue. And
that figures. That's nice.
So they can do custom-made stuff for the consumers.
They do custom work, too?
Yeah.
Dude, how big is this place? Is it like this four-story monstrosity?
It's small. Tiny. It's
okay,
tiny.
Gotcha. I'm picturing like sacks of shoes here. I'm like, Saks Fifth Avenue boots.
But check out the website at www.skyscraperheels.com. They're a little on the pricey side. However, the quality will last for a very long time.
Right, gotcha.
So,
what do you look for in a good boot? What do you like? Are you thigh high? You like the
thigh
heels
high.
Or stacks?
Thigh high.
Are you into shoes at all?
With heels.
I like shoes on myself in a limited measure, but my boot fetish is quite the opposite of Mistress Xena here. I like boots on men. I love combat boots. I love to be stepped on. I love to be kicked. I do love the boot worship, you know, for the right individual. You know, it's not so much, you know, because, you know, the shoes are dirty. It's just, I guess, maybe the machismo of them. I like manly men. And, you know, I like, you know, the muscular guys that are, you know, can physically dominate me because, you know, I might be small in stature, but I'm pretty strong for my build. And so if they can physically dominate me, you know, and so I think the boots are representative of that and just, you know, being kicked by them, it's like turning me into a groveling little twat and it's fun.
So the big, nasty, clunky looking...
Mm-hmm.
Shoes, and you like that
combat
as well.
Combat boots on men are fucking sexy.
Oh, yeah?
My God.
Like, if a man is going to buy a pair of shoes that is going to last him for a good long time and just be an all-around great shoe, buy a pair of combat-style boots. And, you know, Doc Martens, their quality is kind of going downhill, but there's other good, you know, boots like grinders and, you know, just the combat style that are pretty fantastic.
Those of you who listen to the show regularly know that we like to do giveaways here at Kinky Sex Radio, and this month we have an excellent giveaway. This is a book. A book was our most popular giveaway, so I contacted Kimberly Warner Cohen for her book, Sex, Blood, and Rock and Roll. Now, Kimberly has a BFA in creative writing, and she got that BFA in creative writing while working as a professional dominatrix, which is where the idea for this book germinated. She's a New Yorker, and it's a story about a Midwest transplant who moves to the East Village on the cusp of the gentrification lifestyle. It's a really interesting read so far. I'm about 65, 70 pages into it, and it'll be yours just for joining our forums. That's all you got to do. You go to kinkysexradio.com, click the link that says forums. You sign up. We'll send you an email. You confirm it. That's so spammers have a harder time getting into the forums. You click the link in your email box, and that's it. You're in. You've confirmed that you really do exist, and you post a little something introducing yourself. I'll go through the introduce yourself section of the forums and just sort of randomly pick someone. I'm giving away one copy of this book. It is autographed. So if it becomes a bestseller or a cult classic, you'll have something you can sell on eBay for millions and millions of dollars. So we're talking rubber with Mistress Xena. Rubber Mr. Zena.
Mr. Zena. You back down, Louisiana.
Telling you, boys, Mr. Zena over here.
Home dinger.
Rubber with Mistress Zena. What do you like so much about Rubber? What's so great? Sell me on the Rubber.
Okay.
You look good in it, by the way.
Thank
I saw you,
you
at the. Was that rubber? Was that latex? What was that outfit?
That was a latex outfit made by Madame S in San Francisco.
Okay, so that was latex.
Latex.
Well, latex is rubber.
Right. Yeah.
And it's been a fetish of mine, and I noticed how aroused I was when I was like 5 or 6 years old, just putting on rubber gloves, doing dishes, and putting on swimming bathing caps. And I don't know, just the feeling and the sensation and the taste and the look and how it shines. It's just the fetish of mine. I get my jollies off of it, of course. So now, I got all these damn corsets and cat suits, and I'm obsessed with it.
How many pieces do you own? How extensive of a collection do you have? Is one enough? Is six enough? Or do you have 50, 100, 1,000?
I wish.
Are you really? Are you even?
I own a lot of outfits, and if you browse the internet and do a search on like latex cat suits, you're gonna see a lot of models and rubber cat suits, and they all look very delicious. And just the other day, I received a couple emails from two different people, and they're like, "Oh, where do you get your cat suits?" I'm like, "Well, various companies throughout the world." And I could recommend a couple right now. Libidex, based out of London, England.
Libidex. Okay.
Libidex.com. They're amazing. The cat suits, the look, the feel. I like the skin tight feeling, Catwoman. Like, I always looked up to Catwoman when I was a kid.
Which one, Eartha Kitt or Julie Newmar?
Julie.
Oh, yeah, the tall. I liked Eartha Kitt, man. I like the voice, the thing she did. But then I also liked it when she sung. That,
exactly.
I think, was the difference. Okay, right. So you like the skin tight, you like the Libidex?
Libidex, that's a company. And then there's another company called Polymorph, based out of Canada.
Polymorph is nice.
Oh, you know of Polymorph?
Yes.
Cool. You could literally do cartwheels in Polymorph cat suits because the quality of the rubber is just amazing. I mean, the guy that owns Polymorph makes his cat suits. And if you notice on his website at polymorph.com, these are $600 cat suits. They're really expensive, but they're not going to tear. They're going to last.
You get what you pay for.
Exactly. Right. And sleeping in cat suits, playing in cat suits, having people worship me in cat suits, doing photo shoots in cat suits, dancing in cat suits. I mean, I love all those activities, damn it.
Do you still get off on the smell of rubber
yes.
gloves? Do you
oh,
still
yes,
like,
yes.
I'm doing dishes. This is hot.
Yeah, I do. I usually carry a piece of rubber with me just to smell and to taste in
oh,
my purse.
Wow.
It's actually not in this purse. I left it at home, but... Shoot.
That's
shame
a
on me.
Serious fetish, though. That's awesome. That's really fun. Just a little pick me up through the day. Just, I got some rubber with
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
That is sweet. Yeah. So what do people need to know about picking a cat suit? How do you judge? Because, so these two companies obviously produce quality, but what would you look for if you were at, like the fetish fair?
Mm-hmm.
Or, if you're kind of browsing? Or it's hard to buy stuff online.
Exactly.
So giving two companies is great because that gives them a couple of options.
Right.
But what if you go to what how would I be able to tell without putting it on and doing cartwheels in it? I mean, what do you look for? Stitching? Is it the type of rubber?
Well, some companies, they do made to measure. Like, if you give your exact measurements
okay.
to this specific company, they'll make it for you. Like, for instance, Damask. They've got stores throughout Europe, and they have one in New York. They'll do a custom fit one that fits your body exactly, as well as Polymorph, of course. But there's some companies that just do small, medium, and large,
right.
which is hard. But I usually go with the size medium because it fits. It doesn't look bulky. It's nice and tight,
Nice.
I mean,
what is the minimum you should pay? Like, for example, that's the gauge I use a lot of times. If it costs $50, I'm like, well, it can't be. You know what I mean? Like, that's
right,
impossible.
Right.
It can't. It's got to be crap. What is the low end of what a fetish, like, let's say a cat suit, because there's a lot of stuff made out of, everything's made out of latex. You can get anything made out of latex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would be the bottom-end catsuit and the top-end catsuit so people at home can kind of get a gauge of what they'd be spending.
The cheapest priced catsuit I own is a $250.
Okay.
So that's the cheapest. And then above, I mean, I've got, you know, $300 or $400 catsuits. Right. But the $250 one was made by House of Wax. They were actually based in Chicago. They moved to Nevada. If they want to, if individuals want to check out houseofwax.com, it's WHACKS.com. I mean, they make great catsuits too, and the thickness is 35 or 45 millimeter.
Now, Gypsy, you were saying you had a friend in San Francisco who's just started a company or whatever?
Well, it's been going for quite a few months now. It's Blaine and Penny. They own a company called Lust Designs. You can visit them at lustdesigns.com. Latex clothing, they have the ready-to-wear, which is, you know, just standard sizing, and they also have the custom clothing. And it's kind of like, you can get fetishy, and they have like the rumba panties in latex, and they have also like rockabilly style clothing as well. So it's not just your basic, you know, fetish latex. They also have, you know, in addition, the, you know, the rockabilly style like fetish clothing.
Gotcha. Do they have a storefront, or is it online only? Are they production? Do you know?
It's online only right now. They don't have a storefront, and I'm not sure exactly if they have, if they're selling out of any stores. They may be, but if you go to their website, I'm sure they would have like any retail dealers that might be around, but you can order from them directly on their website.
Have you ever done the latex bondage, like the mummy beds or any of that kind of thing? Yeah?
Yeah, I'm actually getting a vac bed.
Sweet.
So,
I don't have a latex fetish. I like it. I think it's pretty. You know, it's more the girl in it than the latex for me. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it's a nice dress. You know, they're form-fitting. They make the curves look excellent. You know, they lift everything where it's where you want it to be or where it was when you were 17. they put everything in the proper place and really draw the eye. However, the vag bed thing does, I don't know, not a fetish, but definitely kind of gets the motor going. I'm like, ooh, that's interesting.
It's really
total
fun.
Restriction.
It's total restriction.
Describe a vag bed so they know what it is. We got people listening. I mean, I get emails from people who are, you know, 18, 19 years old.
Nice.
This is their first kinky relationship. So a lot of the terms we throw around, like vac bed, I'll get an email. Like, wait, what's? Hang on, dude. What's a vac bed?
If I mean vac bed, basically it is a form of bondage, and you could do like, for instance, breath play in a vac bed. There's usually because you need to breathe in it,
right?
So there is actually a tube attached to the vac bed that you could, you know, of course, put your mouth on the tube and breathe through there. You could do several activities while you're in a vac bed. It's not safe to go in a vac bed by yourself, not at all. I don't encourage that at all. But like, for instance, using the vibrator on a person's genitals while the person's sucked in the back bed. It's a big, you know, it's a suction bed. I can't really describe it so well. It sucks you in. It's, you know, like...
So picture two sheets of latex you're laying between.
Right.
And someone's applied a vacuum.
Right.
So it is glued to you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it is on you.
Right.
And I guess if you were strong enough, you could break but I mean you're gonna feel like you're completely immobilized.
Right.
And you can go from head to toe. I've seen some where the face pokes out.
Right, right. Oh, the one I'm getting is like the face is totally like in.
So you're combining, I guess, gas mask play with saran wrap play is how I guess that's the way to explain it to someone who's never seen one. Like imagine you're in a gas mask and then wrapped in saran wrap.
Right.
That's gonna be, I guess, the same kind of space you'd get into in a vac bed. But you also have the advantage of latex, which I think sensitizes. Like if you're wearing latex gloves and you touch, like you're saying, the wrist, that layer of sweat or the constriction, something makes that more intense.
Right.
Maybe
right.
It's just the fact that you're paying attention to it more when you're in latex. I'm not sure. So when you're in a vac bed and you do something like thump a nipple or rub or what, you feel it more.
Yeah, you tingle throughout your body. I mean, it's a...
Yeah, and you get that layer of sweat. You do get that kind of that sensual, how would you describe, oily feeling? I don't know how to explain
You're glowing. You're misted.
Yeah, and you're humming. You're glowing, you're humming, you're glistening. And you're vulcanized. It's brilliant. I'd like to thank Mr. Cena for coming on the show this week, and Miss Gypsy for toughing it out despite getting hit in the face with a dog. It's a fun story. You should hear it sometime. Until next week, I'm Professor Tom reminding you, if you'd like to talk to us, you can send us an email at kinky@kinkysexradio.com. You can visit our website or forums at kinkysexradio.com. Or if you don't have one of those fancy internets and a friend hand-delivers this podcast on a CD thrown through your mail slot every week, why not give us a phone call at area code 206-350-1206. Leave us a voice message. That's 206-350-1206. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.